Off our study in the book of Titus. It's been a while since I've been here, so it feels odd to be going back to this after such a long amount of time. So we are going to go back to the beginning of chapter 3 just to be reminded about what we've been taught so far, and we will have our focus be primarily on verses 9 through 15. So we're going to read chapter 3 in its entirety, found on page 998. Let us now hear God's word. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need, and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Beloved people of God, conflict and controversy is all around us. Our news media feeds off of it. Our entertainment shows, such as reality TV games, thrive on it. In fact, they set it up in such a way that for people who are selfish, there is no way that they can avoid conflict. They put them into teams in which they need to work together in order to achieve their goals and stay on. But then they offer a wad of cash to only one individual who can make it all the way to the end. So for people who are selfish and self-serving, there's no way out of this conflict and controversy. But fights and quarrels are a part of this present world. And believers are called to avoid quarreling and to be submissive and serving. So we as Christians are called to be peaceable and not self-serving but self-sacrificing. We are to be devoted to every good work and to do that cause together as a unified body of believers. And so Paul wants Titus then to help nurture the church life, to make an environment in which it is easy to be devoted to good works. And so Titus is to not be distracted by decisive quarrels, but is to help the people learn to cooperate in good works. So that is our theme this morning. Paul commands Titus as the example to the church to avoid and reject the unprofitable and encourage members to be devoted together to the profitable. Once again, Paul tells Titus to avoid and reject that which is unprofitable and encourage members to be devoted together to the profitable. And there are three major commands in which I will focus on. The first is that Titus is to avoid these distracting and divisive discussions. Secondly, he is to reject the divisive person. And finally, Paul commands the congregation to learn to be devoted to good works. So Paul first commands Titus to avoid these certain discussions. It could be literally translated. He needs to stand outside of. He needs to make sure that he doesn't take part of these discussions. It reminds me of the words of Psalm 1, which says that a blessed man is one who does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. He doesn't take part in the ways of the wicked. And so Titus is to follow these commands. The first of this is these foolish controversies or foolish debates. He tells Timothy a similar thing in 2 Timothy 2 verse 23, saying, "Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels." And so we need to make sure that we reject these discussions. And Titus needs to stand outside of them and not be involved in them. But we also want to make sure that we keep that word foolish attached to it. Because to avoid all controversy is impossible, first of all. And even Jesus himself was a very controversial figure because he lived by the ways of God and not by the ways of the world. Luther himself, who was one of the founding people in history, brought about the Reformation because he was controversial about important things of faith. And so there are certain things that we need to be controversial about, which we need to be in conflict with others about. But they are essential and important matters, not foolish. We are to stand outside of those things that are foolish. We're not to be sucked into those debates. And Titus must also be this as an example. The second is discussions or arguments, which are about genealogies. This too is talked about in Timothy. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. And so Timothy and Titus are both to avoid these things which are involved in speculation. These myths and these genealogies which lead to nothing fruitful. They're unprofitable, as which Titus describes later. The third type of discussion is called dissensions. And once again, in 1 Timothy 6 verse 3, he talks about these things, which a person uses because he is puffed up and he has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words which produce envy and dissension. These things are things that Titus needs to stay away from. They are divisive discussions, discussions that hurt the people of God. The final thing that Titus is to avoid are these law fights. These things that revolve around that circumcision party who are talking about the purity of the people and how that ought to be accomplished. All these things are unprofitable. And being involved in these discussions, Titus will only be distracted from what he's told to do. He is told to insist upon the things of the gospel. He's told to insist to the people of God that they were once foolish, disobedient, and all these things, but God has saved you. So do not lose focus on what your task is, Titus. Do not get involved in these discussions. Stand outside of them, because they are not worth your time. So when we are taught the gospel, it creates an environment in which we can see the wonders and good, great God who has saved us. When we are reminded again and again, people of God, the truth of the gospel, it needs to bring up a desire within us, devotion to good works, a devotion to do what is right and good in the will of God. People of God, you were once quarrelsome, foolish, hateful, and hating. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, sent His only Son to save you. He sent Jesus to purchase you with His death. And you who were once inheritors of eternal death are now inheritors of eternal life. That greatest treasure of Jesus Christ is yours. What wonderful news. What a wonderful Savior. And when we hear these words again and again, it brings us into a mindset that provokes and motivates us and helps us to concentrate on what we are called to do good works. So let us abide in Him. Let us continually take up our cross and be devoted to good works, not being distracted by those latest theological controversies based on speculation, and therefore distracting us from living out the gospel. But Titus is also told to reject or have nothing to do with divisive people. I hope you notice that these divisive discussions and arguments related back to those false teachers that we talked about in the beginning of the chapter. The quarrels of the law come from those who are part of that circumcision party that we see in chapter 1, verse 10. And in the letter to Timothy, as we read, Paul joins myth and genealogies together. And here in chapter 1, 14, we see those who are devoted to Jewish myths. And later at the end, we have those who are having quarrels about genealogies. So Titus is to avoid getting wrapped up in these discussions, but that does not mean he does not confront them. He's told here to warn them because they are breaking apart the people of God. Titus is to warn them twice and then have nothing more to do with them. He's to reject them, to shun them. Now we can see the principle of Matthew 18, which Jesus talks about here, as Jesus tells them a certain process that must be followed. First of all, we must go to the person and admonish them. But they are to go through a series of warnings. And here too, he is to spend time warning them, giving them opportunity and the Spirit opportunity to work, that they too may become sound in faith. They are not just outright rejected. They must be given time to be taught and admonished and disciplined. And there is time given and patience to be had so that the work of the Spirit may go forth. So the church is to recognize unbelief. Because if there is two warnings, then, and if they continue in that unbelief, if they continue to quarrel, they are bearing fruit of a false teacher. They are bearing fruit of a person who is not a Christian, because a Christian seeks to be peaceable in all things. They will give up their foolish quarrels for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of people and for the church. So how about you? If Titus were to come to you and he was to say to you, brother or sister, these discussions that you are bringing up in the fellowship hall, these things that you are teaching our young people, they're only divisive. They're quarrelsome. They're based on speculation. They're things that are unclear in Scripture. Are you going to be quarrelsome? Are you going to continue to fight so that you can be right? Even Peter himself says that some things in Paul are hard to understand, and people twist them for their own profit. So when you are admonished, or if you are to be admonished, then I hope that you will be grieved that you have done damage to the church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. The warnings that come to you, if you are one who is divisive, are warnings which you ought to take heed to. You ought to grieve that you have done damage to the church. Because Christ's work was a work of gathering, not of separation. Yes, He separated people out of the world, out of darkness, but out of a world that is already divided against itself. A world where men are versus women, black are versus white, police lives matter versus black lives matter, national party versus labor party. A kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. But you were called out of that kingdom. You were called to be united together in Christ Jesus. You are called to live peaceably with one another and as peaceably as you can in the world. Because in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of Christ, there is neither black nor white, male nor female, circumcised or uncircumcised. We are all children of God. This does not mean there is no distinction. This does not mean that there is no differences between us. But we are all together in Christ Jesus because He has purchased us and gathered us together out of the world. And Christ has chosen us to be a part of that process, a part of that gathering as people of the church. And He tells us in Luke 11:23, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So let us be careful to be devoted to the things that unify us and help us to gather the people out of the world and into Christ's kingdom. This is what Paul commands us to learn in verse 14. which is our third point. Because we are to be cooperative in our devotion to good works. Paul gives these few final instructions to Titus. First of all, Paul tells Titus that he is to do his best to come to Paul as soon as he can. As soon as replacements arrive. He is to go to Titus and go to Paul and serve him in Nicopolis where he is going to winter. Titus has been a great blessing to Paul. He is a true child in the faith as he opened up this letter. But notice that Titus is to go to him. He is not to argue and say, well, you know, I really think that I'm really starting to do some good here. I'm putting some roots down. I really want to stay here instead. No, he's to cooperate with Paul. He's to be an example to the people of God that he's willing to serve God wherever he calls him. He's willing to go and serve God where he has called him. But Paul also tells Titus to speed Zenas and Apollos along. Get them along, keep them going, that they might go forth and preach the gospel elsewhere. Do not let them drag their feet. Get them ready and equip them for everything that they need, that they may go forth and continue on the calling and commissioning that I have given them. Now, Titus is a preacher, and I don't think that he has enough to get these guys going. And that's why the people must cooperate and bring of the gifts and equip these men. Titus is unable to do this all by himself. He is the one, they are the ones to help them along on their journey. And this is an urgent task. So sometimes we can wonder, why do we have these little, you know, pieces of history where Paul is sending him here and sending them there, and he goes here and he goes there, and we're getting all this instruction about who's going where and what's going on. Why is that? What's the point? Why did God preserve this in Scripture for us? Because it teaches us something, right? Well, here we have the blessing of knowing what it is to teach us. Because it says in verse 13, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. This is where the people of God are to be devoted together to do good works and get these people out. To continue to support the cause of the gospel. To continue to support the gathering in of His people. That the word of God may go forth. So people of God, in the case of the reality TV game shows such as Survivor, the ultimate goal is gaining a big wad of cash. But in Jesus Christ, we have already been given the greatest treasure that this world can offer. And it's not of this world. It's out of this world. And we have been gifted with the inheritance of eternal life. And all those things which can truly make us happy can only be found in Jesus Christ. And this treasure can never be taken from us. We do not need to compete to get it. We already have it. We are then to act out of that. We as children ought to be so motivated to continue to bring out that wonderful gift to the people and to show them the gracious God that we serve. That we ought to be equipping each other and helping each other and creating an environment which we are provoked, as we learned last week in the evening, to good works. That we are encouraged to help one another to do these good works. That we can cooperate in spreading and sharing the good news of the gospel. So let us avoid quarrelsome distractions and reject those who would pit us against each other. And let us learn to devote ourselves to the good cause of the gospel. Amen. Let's pray.